There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
It gets better every time. The intro to Midday Mobile, Dalton Orwig and Dan Brennan sitting in for Sean Sullivan today. Hey, Dan.
Hey, man. That guy that said that in the end.
About the drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put him away? What's up?
Bad character there.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. I don't know if he ever stopped doing drugs. Didn't sound like he was planning on it there.
Well, but if you're in jail, it's tough to get the goods.
Is it?
I think so. I mean, they don't try to make it easy on you.
No, they still find a way somehow. But yeah, that great intro, and maybe we'll get into something. You know, Governor Ivey plays a major role in that intro with the high stepping turkeys, and kind of made that her thing. I don't know if you've noticed over the last few
years. Yeah, I have.
Well, she's talking about another kind of animal you may come across at the dinner table. We'll get into that a little later in the show. Also, Fat Bear Week on the way. They were actually worried that if the government were to shut down, that it might interfere with the voting for Fat Bear Week up in Alaska.
Okay.
But now that shutdown averted, we can get on about serious business like voting for the best fat bear in Alaska.
And so online, though, the pictures of the bears come up, and then you have to choose one of how many are in the finals.
I'm not sure of the number. I don't know if you get three wild cards in each league like you do with the Major League Baseball, but the Bears are fat and they're ready to be voted on. Even a voting controversy from last year, some voter fraud possibly for Fat Bear Week. So we'll get into that as well. Joining us now, though, to kickstart the 1 o'clock hour, Dr. Lou Campanosi, who I have known for a very long time. He's even guest hosted this show, and he's been a guest on multiple shows here at FM Talk 106.5 and retiring. Long been the head of the Common Sense Campaign. Dr. Lou, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Well, thank you, Dalton. And I mean to tell you, it's been a long, long haul for us here. But people like you and Sean and Dan and, you know, Jeff Poore, you all really do what's necessary for, you know, keeping the public aware of issues and learning about things. So I can't thank you enough. I will say something, though, about that introduction. Mm-hmm. I know that Sean said he was going to change that several years ago, and he never did. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand what happened. But the turkey issues with Ivy, yeah, I get it. But
well, you know, every time we say we're going to change it, there's like a petition that goes out. People that just don't want to see it changed. They love the old hits that get played. So we'll see about that. I've been working with Sean on maybe putting a new one in there. Dr. Lou, so... you know, we've heard from you so often as head of the Common Sense Campaign, and you guys have certainly had some political fights locally and with the state over
some victories.
And victories, yeah. But this kind of all started as the Tea Party back in the Obama years, or just after, I guess it was, yeah, Obama years, where the Tea Party really came to prominence.
With Obamacare.
Yeah, Ziegler, former state auditor, who, of course, has played a major role in this as well. Once I saw that he had written that you were resigning or retiring, I said, I've got to get Dr. Lou on the phone. So maybe for those who don't know, talk a little bit about the Common Sense Campaign and what you guys stand for.
Right. Well, Common Sense was brought into being by Pete Rehm and Colonel Fraser, okay? This is in 2009, so they formed the original Common Sense Campaign, and Pete is still obviously our head man on the board, and he's going to take my place as the interim president until the board selects someone else to do that. So With that being the case, in 2009, common sense was in existence. We moved from Florence, Alabama, down here, and so I immediately joined Common Sense around August or so, and ever since, that's what I've been doing in terms of my desire to stay abreast of what's going on with issues and working to have an impact on those issues. I think that Common Sense's mission has always been to, you know, work with people to improve, you know, the quality of life that's out there, but it's all around the idea of Christian conservative values. And I think that, you know, those conservative values, which we sort of take for granted here in Alabama, you know, have run into some real problems, okay? And some of them we can talk about, but critically for me at least, has been Common Core and the indoctrination that is part and parcel of that Common Core, you know, curriculum. I think that, you know, we have spent a lot of time trying to persuade the State Board of Education, to persuade legislators to move in a different direction, to replace it. And I have to say that given the fact that Common Core was never tested, never piloted, it was just put into being, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the key members on the math and English side of the house refused to go along with, you know, the outcomes that had been brought out. And once that happened, it seemed to me that everyone should have just taken a time out and said, wait a second, let's not go into this until we see what we're getting. Well, I said something to one of the superintendents recently who called me and basically said, you know what, this was never piloted, but now we have had a pilot program, and that is the Alabama Experimental Program, which is a failure. You look at what is going on in education today, and it is dismal. Baldwin County just had their latest ACAP scores, and I did, you know, 21, 22, 23 comparison. And there's been marginal improvement in math from 32 to 36. In English, it's been up and down, but I think now they're sitting at 57%. I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, mm-hmm. It's dismal in Mobile. It's just a little bit better in Baldwin. And, you know, my argument has been the only, you know, way to understand why we are having such trouble, particularly in Baldwin County, where we are so-called rich, is because of Common Core. There's no other variable that makes any sense in terms of explaining it. So, I don't know. We haven't given up on it. And I know that a couple of weeks ago we had a meeting with Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. And we did not have to convince him that if he is the next governor, he is going to get rid of Common Core. I mean, it's apparent to everyone except the educrats in Montgomery, the Business Council of Alabama, which I'm so sick of dealing with those people, who have kept money going to all of these, you know, state legislators to keep Common Core in place. That's what we have been dealing with. And so I think that even though we have not been successful about it, I think that what is happening with the sexualization issue that's going across the United States,
mm-hmm.
but especially in Alabama, and we're seeing it in part due to the libraries and all like that, due in part to what's going on with, you know, the transgender issue, due in part to folks who want to do all of these strange, you know, oh God, what's the word where they do those?
I could guess, Dr. Lou, but I don't know which weird thing you're going to. There's the furry thing. I'm like,
yeah. So you know, with so, this, with this,
up and you go see all these people. Okay, so but the point I'm making is that all of a sudden, the parents are alert and alive. You've got Moms for Liberty. You've got other groups out there, and I really think that that this is the time when we may very well find that there's going to be so much political pressure to contain the sexualization that's going on with the children that it will spill over to an understanding by some people that Common Core has been what has been, you know, the camel's nose under the tent to allow all of this stuff inside the classroom.
Yeah, I think Drag Queen Story Hour may have been where you were going with that. Mm-hmm. Not sure, but
drag queen. There you go.
So, and that kind of, you know, this fight against Common Core goes hand in hand with common sense and pushing for school choice. And there was a pretty major push for that in this last legislative session. It kind of died there. Looks like it may be brought up again this coming session. But you also have RSA and David Bronner pushing back. Of course, the AEA is pushing back against this. Where do you think the fight for school choice in Alabama stands now? And you mentioned Will Ainsworth. He seems certain to throw his hat into the ring for governor for that next race. Where does the school choice thing lie right now?
Listen, I think school choice it's a two-edged sword here, okay? On the one hand, I understand why they want it. I get that. But personally, we came out against it the way it was set up this last time. And the reason being, when I read what the superintendent from one of the school systems said, that if these schools who are getting state money are taking it, those schools have got to follow all of the rules and regulations that public schools do. Well, I mean, what are we talking about? The whole reason parents want to get away from public schools, among many reasons, is because we don't want to have to deal with Common Core. So if we're saying, if these superintendents really believe that any money that's been taken by these parents who want to follow, you know, their own choice in where to go to school, if that happens, then we've lost control over private education. And I just don't see that as a benefit. Okay, number one. Number two, I certainly don't understand how the legislature will ever go along with, you know, essentially giving money to any white family without being means tested. I mean, that's just a political reality, you know. Number two on this, though, is that all these rural areas have major issues in terms of being able to, you know, facilitate a school choice because you don't have a lot of, you know, private schools in many of these rural areas.
Right.
So, my way of thinking, the solution is fix the public schools. And by fix, I don't mean put more money into it. They've had 4 years of the biggest budgets they've ever had. And that, to me, you know, just goes to show money doesn't mean everything in education. I'm a former principal from a Catholic high school in Louisiana, and I guarantee you, we had a little bit of money, but we had a lot of impact on what we were doing. And I think that, you know, the whole idea of private education is to do more with less.
Yep.
It's kind of the way the Marine Corps is, okay? That's, you know, the Marine Corps never got a lot of money when I was in the Marine Corps, but we always did more with what we had. And that's the principle that I think has gotten lost in public education. Keep throwing money at it, no results. And that is a major issue.
Yeah, the Marine Corps are obviously mission-oriented, and thank you very much for your service, Dr. Lou, among other things. Also, I just wanted to wrap up by saying you've been in the classroom. I didn't realize you were a principal at a Catholic high school, but you have taught political science at Tulane, Southern Miss, North Alabama, yeah. Spring Hill. What have you noticed about the young people that are in your classroom from when you began to, I don't know even when you did retire?
Well, I mean, I stopped teaching in the classroom after Spring Hill in 2019.
Okay.
That was my next year to teach. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've always seen students who are conservative and liberal, okay? There's nothing new about it. And I've stayed in close touch with some of the most liberal students I've ever taught, okay? But I think that dealing with students, whether they're liberal, conservative, whatever, you just have to have an open approach to issues and talk about both sides of the issue. Let them at least hear both sides. And you can go and look on some of the Rate My Professor things that I've looked online from my Tulane students. You know, they say, like, Campo, you know, is pretty right-wing, but he doesn't impose his views. And I think that that's pretty much, you know, the truth in what we try to do. But, I mean, I never tried to pretend like I was, you know, not conservative. I mean, I ran that flag up right away. But I did promise them that they would have an opportunity to learn things here and find out things on their own, and we would discuss those kinds of things.
I would have loved to have been in your class.
So. Yeah, and hopefully, hopefully more professors and not fewer that agree with you that the classroom needs to be a place where you can speak freely about these kinds of things. It sure doesn't seem that way. You watch some of the...
Listen, my daughter went to LSU in the 80s. First thing she said, Dad, you know, some of these professors are saying things that I really disagree with, but I'm afraid to say anything because it'll hurt my grade. That's true then, and it's still true now. Mm. You know, there's just a rigorous approach to indoctrination that's worse now, I would argue, than ever before. And part of this is because these far-left liberals, and again, you know, I don't even want to call them far-left liberals. I mean, the liberal tradition in political theory has always been where you actually are concerned with freedom and rights and things like that. These people in the academic world today, in my view, have crossed the line to where they are intolerant. And so the question becomes, you know, what is the point of going there, you know, to these schools when you know, you're just going to be bombarded with, you know, far left-wing indoctrination. I don't have a solution to this other than I know that conservatives will have a very difficult time breaking into tenured positions because the tenured track is controlled by the far left, and they will not, you know, bend to changing who they hire based on some ideological litmus test.
The bell is ringing, Dr. Liu. The class is over, I'm afraid.
We really appreciate your time. I know I've had some great discussions with you over the years. What's next, Dr. Liu? Family time? What's next for Dr. Liu?
Well, I think that one of the reasons we're moving is that because, you know, we are getting old, and I think that it's time for us to have more family time. That means going to Louisiana. My youngest son lives over there. He'll be about 20 minutes away from us. My wife has two brothers and her sister in New Orleans, 40 minutes away. So we feel it's time for us to do that. Now, what I do with the political world, I'm going to stay in touch with my colleagues and friends here in Alabama, and I'm hoping to be able to keep my radio show, too. We'll see how that works out. But the bottom line for me is that, you know, the issues that are over here are in Louisiana. And I think that I'm going to find myself getting involved with it in Louisiana, perhaps not to the extent that I did over here with the time, because I really do want to carve out more time for my family.
I hear you. Well, we appreciate your time, Dr. Liu, and best of luck to you as you start this new venture.
Thanks to both of you. I really appreciate it. And you guys do a great job every day. I really, and it's after having a one day a week radio show, what you guys do is very impressive to get ready for it.
Thank you,
Dr. Liu.
Thanks, Dr. Liu, Campomanosi Common Sense Campaign. And we'll be back. Turning up your voice, 251-343-0106. More Midday Mobile right after this.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile. is wrong. It's not Sean Sullivan, though. Dalton Orwig and Dan Brennan in for Sean today.
Well, he was paid big money to make that announcement.
That's right.
Years ago.
Yeah, I should have turned in that we would be in.
That's right.
A long time ago. Didn't get it in time. I do know what time it is right now. Good time. If you want to go see Bert Kreischer, well-known comedian, he's taken the world by storm here over the last few years. The Tops Off World Tour. Bert Kreischer at the Mobile Civic Center Arena. Sunday, October 15th, the 7 o'clock show. And we have a pair of tickets. We'll be giving these away the rest of the week on the morning show. But right now, your chance to win. Caller number 4 to 251-343-0106. Caller number 4. And you win a pair of tickets to see Bert Kreischer again at the Mobile Civic Center Arena. The Tops Off World Tour. I'll be there, and I hope to see you there as well. Absolutely hilarious comedian. I'll have to put you on some of his stuff, Dan, because yeah. I think you would really appreciate it.
I probably seemed, didn't know it was him.
Yeah.
Didn't know the name.
He's really good. So we'll give that pair away, and then stay tuned to Mobile Mornings. The rest of the week, we'll be giving away pairs every single day. We've got a lot to get into. Not a whole lot of time left here on Midday Mobile. Danny Cordy with the Mobile Sports Authority joins us in the next segment. Plus, I have to get to Fat Bear Week before this show is done with, and talk a little bit about the voter fraud allegations from last year's Fat Bear Week. We'll get into that and more on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Congratulations, John. John, the big winner, getting a pair of tickets to see Bert Kreischer, the Tops Off World Tour. Mobile Civic Center Arena, that show's coming up Sunday, October 15th.
Why don't you go ahead and let everybody know John's last name?
John Smith, big winner. And
what's your real name, John?
Yeah, what are you hiding from us? Bert Kreischer, the Tops Off World Tour. You know they call it that because he takes his shirt off on the stage.
Okay.
Pretty good part of his bit.
All right.
I'm trying to explain to Dan here about old Bert Kreischer. He's hilarious, and that's why I'll be there that Sunday. A pair of tickets we're going to continue to give away the rest of this week. It'll be on Mobile Mornings, though. So if you get up later in the day, maybe you just woke up. If you want to win these tickets, you'll have to wake up a little bit earlier the rest of the week.
Well, if you just woke up now, you're a member of the Stray Hounds. What's the band? I don't know the comedian. I don't know the bands. I don't know anything.
I know the Stray Cat Strut.
No, the local band that's doing big stuff.
Oh, Red Clay Straits.
Red Clay Straits. They just bought a big bus.
Yeah, they're in a Prevost now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things are awesome. We'll have to get one of those for Mobile Mornings. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's what's next for us.
I think we're going to take this show on the road. Actually, Wednesday I will be. Battleship. We will be out there. I will be there. Scuttlebutt will be there. And we'll talk about the great event they have coming up at the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park this weekend.
I say everybody go out there just to watch Dalton pull the big old cruiser up onto the...
It's not happening anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they'll let me anymore. I got into some trouble last time. So we'll see.
How did I miss that story?
So October, really nice weekend ahead. We talked with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams this morning, as we do every morning, and he said, I got some good news for you. The weather, it's going to actually start to feel a little bit like fall, as we'll get some highs in the low 80s, maybe even the upper 70s this weekend. The lows will be in the 50s and 60s. It's going to feel great, and it's a great time for a football game, and that's exactly what's happening this Saturday. You got the, I can't believe it's been sixth annual Gulf Coast Challenge, and that's, of course, put on by the Mobile Sports Authority. And on to discuss that, along with some of the other big events they have planned the rest of the year, is Danny Cordy with the Mobile Sports Authority. Danny, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Glad to be here.
So I'm glad you made time for us, because this is a busy week, I'm sure, for you. But I was looking at the schedule for events that you put on in November. I don't know if I've ever seen such a stacked month calendar-wise. So this is one thing, and this is a huge event, the Gulf Coast Challenge. But in November, I mean, it's one thing right after another.
Well, Dalton, we've been fortunate. We have good backing by the city and the county, and we've been able to procure a lot of events. And November really historically has always been a busy month for us, but it's just gotten, like you said, it's gotten crazy. Between the 1st of November and the end of December, I count 11 sports events that we're involved with, whether hosting, supporting, running, attracting, whatever you want to call it. And so we've just been real fortunate, and you know, you just, as Hank Stram used to always say, you just keep chopping wood, just keep adding them up.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got all different kind of different sports, from the big volleyball tournament that's on the way, rugby, swimming, high school wrestling. This is some really great stuff. But of course, no sport puts butts in the seats like football. And I know you guys look forward to this every year. It's coming up this Saturday, the Gulf Coast Challenge. You've got Alabama A&M, you got Jackson State, and while the football is great, I know just as many people come out to see the bands as well, and you've really built this entire week into, well, an event pretty much every day from Wednesday going through the game.
Well, we are in partnership with the Gulf Coast Challenge guys. That's Tim Hale Jr., who's the executive director, and T.J. Petway, Kevin Ball, those guys, we've been in partnership with them since the very first Gulf Coast Challenge back in 2018. Now, 2 years before that, we had the Fifth Quarter Classic in 2016 and 2017, because what happened was in 2009, the Gulf Coast Classic, which had been at home in Mobile for 35 years, that was their last year to do that. So when I got back as a sports commissioner back in late 2011, one of my goals was to bring HBCU football back to Mobile because of the passion and the following of their fans. And it took us a few years to really find, I guess, the right promoter, so to speak, and Tim and his crew kind of popped up there, and they're all from Mobile. That is the Gulf Coast Challenge guys. They all live in Mobile. So we changed over to, in 2018, to the Gulf Coast Challenge. That first game was Southern against Alabama A&M with 23,000 in attendance. And we've just tried to build on it every year. And just like any football game, whether it be a bowl game, it depends on the matchup. And it depends how the teams are doing. And this weekend, we have two teams that are 3-2. They're tied at 1-1 in the Southwest Athletic Conference East Division. So they are fighting for a spot in the SWAC championship coming up in December. So it's all set up to be a fun week. You mentioned the weather being good all the way through the game, and we're looking hopefully for you know, you always say if you have a 40,000 seat stadium, you expect 40,000 people there. But realistically, if we get 20 to 25, I think we're going to be really happy, and that's a tremendous economic impact for the city. You're talking about the business of sports, and that's why we invest in these kind of events, and so does the city and the county and other private sponsors.
Danny, talk about those numbers. What does this do for the city of Mobile, and when do fans of those teams begin to come to the city, stay in hotels? I know it's kind of a family reunion feel. I've been to some of these. It's a blast, and even when you're not somebody who went to one of these schools, but right. You can just feel the warmth of everybody getting to see each other, and there's obviously the rivalry of the game itself. Pretty cool overall atmosphere, very unique.
Well, Dan, I think you're right on top of it. It's a little bit like a family reunion. Dalton mentioned not only the game, but the bands are highly followed in the HBCU world. So, you know, that's sometimes just as important as the game itself. But our events Wednesday we have a concert Wednesday night at Mardi Gras Park. We've got a college and career fair on Thursday with a concert in Mardi Gras Park Thursday night. Friday, we have the team luncheon with both teams and coaches coming in at the convention center, followed by a second line parade at 6 p.m. and another concert at Mardi Gras Park on Saturday night. Friday night. And then on Saturday, of course, it's the parade at 10 a.m., the game tailgating, the game kicks off at 3, and another concert, post-game concert with Little Boozy on the field at LAD. Now, you ask, when the fans start coming in, some of them will probably, it'll be as usual, come in Friday, stay Friday night, Saturday night, and leave Sunday. And the economic impacts of these games, depending on the matchup, range anywhere by how we calculate it, from $3 million to over $10 million for a single event. And that's just a tremendous a tremendous event for us, business-wise, especially for the city and county of Mobile.
Yeah, no doubt. It is a big dang deal. I know you got info on this at MobileSportsAuthority.com along with the rest of the schedule. I guess if people want to get tickets, the GulfCoastChallenge.com, that's where they'd go?
That's right. The ticket office will, I believe, will open this Friday down at LAD. So you can actually go up to LAD. If you don't like all that online stuff, you can go to LAD and purchase tickets starting, I believe, at 10 a.m. on Friday. And, of course, the ticket office will be closed, open all day Friday, all day Saturday. Still plenty of tickets left. Hopefully people take a look at the weather and say, hey, if nothing else, just want to get outside. So come on down and support one of our largest one of the largest events we have in Mobile annually.
And, you know, while we have you on, I also wanted to kind of look back at a an event this summer that seems to grow and grow, and kind of it's Mobile is making it its own. And you guys have done such a good job with the Dolphin Street Vault, and had that again in July. Through word of mouth and just people talking about how much fun that is, it's got to be a blast for you to put that on also.
Well, you know, it's that's one of those events that is really not a huge event, but that and our World Championship Turkey Calling Contest are two events that are talked about more than anything else besides, obviously, something like this Gulf Coast Challenge. And Coach Drew Bentley and Thomas Folks, those guys approached us back in 2011 to do this and to start it out. And it's one of those crazy ideas that's just crazy enough to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it's grown every year, and it's on the calendar. It's an iconic Mobile event down in the entertainment district. I believe there are other street vaults around the nation, but there are not very many of them. And again, with what Drew and Thomas and their crew have done with that event, and we're a partner in that, and we're proud of it, and it's something that's homegrown, and that's important too.
Yeah, it's so unique, and you know, I mean, like Mobile is known for being a little loosey goosey, you know, have a good time, don't worry about anything. So you have it on Dolphin Street, so you got all these people coming into town from other places, and they're getting, I think, a really good view of what our city's all about.
Well, you're right, Dan, and it's in the entertainment district. It starts like at 10 a.m. on Saturday and goes to about 10 p.m. on Saturday night. So fans and people are just flowing in and out because there's no admission charge. You just come on down and watch that, and especially when they get into the nighttime when the pros and the college stars start hitting up to that 18, 19 feet. That's pretty wild. And again, it's just a so Mobile event.
Yes.
It's really been cool to watch it grow.
No doubt. Well, we really appreciate your time today, Danny, and point people once again to MobileSportsAuthority.com. You have such a stacked fall and winter calendar, something for everyone, and the Gulf Coast Challenge this weekend, GulfCoastChallenge.com. Thanks again for coming on with us today on Midday Mobile.
Anytime, guys. Y'all, we'll see you soon. Y'all hang in there while you have to work overtime.
Thanks, Danny. If this is work, I'm okay with it. Appreciate it.
Danny Cordy, Mobile Sports Authority, joining us here on Midday Mobile. And, they also get the All-Star Game, high school football All-Star game coming up this year. So very, very cool stuff they got going on with the Mobile Sports Authority.
And some of the events at the Tennis Center. The Tennis Center does big work, brings in people from all over the place, sometimes all over the country, certainly all over the Southeast. That is a moneymaker out there at Municipal Park.
Yeah, it sure is. 1:46, we come back. We'll get to the important hard-hitting news you've been waiting for. Okay. Fat Bear Week 2023.
All right.
How you can vote there. Also, some Europeans, actually a lot of Europeans, think you should only be able to fly a certain amount of times in your lifetime. And it's all because of climate change.
Being green? Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that coming up on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig, Dan Brennan in for Sean Sullivan today. And on the phone with us right now from Mobile Bay Coin and Fine Jewelry, we have Anna. Anna, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you for calling us.
So, yes, folks who are looking into maybe getting into the precious metals game. Maybe they haven't done it before. I've told so many people over the years that Mobile Bay Coin, that's the place to go to learn about investing in precious metals, and also a great place to purchase it too. And silver and gold still down right now, huh?
Yes, sir. It actually dropped down even more. Silver is down about a dollar from where it was yesterday, and gold dropped significantly 2 cents yesterday. So if you're looking to invest, right now is a great time to buy. If you've got questions before you buy, of course, we can answer all of those when you get here, or you can call us at 251-725-1590.
And you also, you know, you have so many different coins, collector's coins, different movies, holidays, whatever you have on there. Yeah, collectibles, thank you. And silver pumpkins, which makes sense now that we're in the month of October.
Yes, sir. So we have 1 ounce pumpkins. They actually look like a pumpkin, but it's 1 ounce of silver. It's hard to believe that that's an ounce of silver, but it's because it's so small looking. But yeah, they're pretty heavy.
Yeah, and some great gift ideas as well. You talked about those collectibles, but with the holidays coming up, you guys have a great selection of that stuff too. Anna, for folks who want to come by today or maybe sometime this week, where can they find you?
2204 Government Street. We're in between the Whataburger and Highway 90 and the train tracks at the Loop.
All right, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
There you go, Anna, with Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and MobileBayCoins.com. They are the place to go if you're trying to get into investing, or like she said, so many great collectibles there as well. I'm hoping, maybe I'll get a petition in that we can get a collectible at Mobile Bay Coin featuring the Fat Bear of the year.
Fat Bear.
Fat Bear Week.
What was the controversy last year? It's all online voting. Something went
awry.
Yeah, and we're coming off national elections, we have finger pointing about
voter fraud,
voting, vote harvesting, things like that.
yeah, these bears and they're harvesting, and then you got the vote harvesting.
Yeah.
So Fat Bear Week. I don't know how long they've been. I guess it hasn't been long that they've been doing this.
It's been new to me.
I didn't find out about it until last year when the bear named 747. Like the plane, because of its size.
Got it. I was following right along.
It won Fat Bear Week for the second time in 3 years. So kind of putting together a Kirby Smart-esque dynasty.
There you go.
As far as Fat Bear Week goes. And beat out a rookie. So imagine like a first-year head coach getting into the championship game. That's what we were dealing with the bear, Bunyan-esque Behemoth. That was the name of the other bear.
That was number two, or that one?
That finished second.
Okay.
So lost in the national championship last year to 747. And so 747, they're thinking, weighs as much as 1,400 pounds. And the controversy here didn't come in the finals, but came in the semifinals, as it looked like 747 last year was going to lose.
Right.
Contestant 901, which I thought contestant 901 had a name like, Holly. There we go. Holly is the other bear's name. Fat Lady Bear.
Yeah.
And Holly was set to move into the finals last year, but they found a bunch of fraudulent votes. So somebody had gone online, ballot harvested, poll harvested, I don't know what you want to call it, but Holly was about to be incorrectly moved into the finals. Thankfully, they didn't put up with that kind of crap for Fat Bear Week.
Another situation that divided America.
It really did.
Or at least divided Alaska.
I don't know if this will make it to the Supreme Court or not, but 747, the defending champ, and has a lot of work to do. So Fat Bear Week starts, I believe, Wednesday, the voting for Fat Bear Week. They say it's a single elimination tournament. Fans vote online for their favorite contenders and can compare photos of bears from the beginning of the spring, you know, when they come out of hibernation, to what they look like at the end of summer as they get ready to go into hibernation. So you get a good look at the before. It's kind of like a weight loss pill.
Yeah,
and
Nutrisystem for bears.
Yeah, except you just reverse the pictures. Like instead of before and then after is the skinny. It's you start skinny, they end up fat.
There you go.
I'll tell you, I don't want to have anything to do with any kind of voter fraud allegations, but I'll let you know which fat bear my money's on
when
we get there on Wednesday.
Well, you're going to put money on one of them. I know that.
I'm going to find a way to vote on Fat Bear Week. And then this is a little disconcerting as well.
I'm voting slender.
You're going to vote for the skinny bear?
Slender Antelope Week. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly when.
Yeah, that's a sad competition right there. then there was this poll. I wanted to get to this before the end of the show, because if you don't think that this sentiment is also felt here in America, I mean, wasn't it just the U.S. Open a couple weeks ago? You had a very, very long delay during the final because of these climate protesters.
Yes.
Remember that? They glued themselves to, like, the concrete
at the
there?
Tennis, at the tennis, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's happening here in America, but there was a survey in France. They surveyed 1,010 French residents over the age of 18, and 41% said they would support banning people from flying more than four times in their lives due to climate change. Mm. They think four is the maximum amount of plane rides you should go on, all in the name of climate change. When you just look at the 18 to 24-year-olds that were in the poll, 59%.
59% said that?
So nearly 6 in 10 French 18 to 24-year-olds believe there should be a four-time limit on flying.
Is that because if you live in France, you're so used to traveling by rail, even to other countries in Europe?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe. But I think more than anything, the climate change protest has taken off there in a bigger way than it has here in America. But I'd really like to see what that number is here. You know, if they did that kind of poll, it wouldn't be 60%, but I bet there's probably a good, I don't know, 10, 15% of 18 to 24-year-olds in America that would go for the same
thing.
So
it was 18 to 24, that's who was...
That was the 59%. Okay. Just overall, for all ages, it was 41%, which is still a massive number.
Yeah.
But that's France. It's not here.
I don't think we'd be there at all. I don't think. But I think rail may have something to do with that as well.
I guess you're
not begging to come to America, evidently, because you could take rail from France to America, but you would die in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Good luck.
How about you accidentally spend that fourth flight going somewhere you didn't mean to go? how do you get home?
It's over.
It does it. Midday Mobile. Dan and I will be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. for Mobile Mornings. Coming up next, the Paul Feinbaum Show.